All right, today's scripture reading is from Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Thank you. Therefore, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude.
I mentioned this in Bible class that I don't remember how to turn on my microphone.
When I get up to speak. No, here we go. How about now? Here. Today's my last Sunday with you. I've accepted a new position where I'm going to be working with the Mission Foundation. It's something that's been in the offing for a little while, but because of my infrequency, I haven't been here. Last month, Jeanette and I went and celebrated our 40th anniversary. Hold your applause. And we took a 10-day cruise to do that. And let me tell you, that's the best way to gain 10 pounds you possibly can. No joke. It is the way to do it. It's fantastic. But that meant that I wasn't here in our typical time. I had shared that information with Mark and Marion and with Todd of the search team. I shared this information with the search team today. Thankfully, they did not applaud when I shared that information with them. But with that in mind, today is kind of like my last shot at you. So I wanted to, that scripture that we just read from Colossians 2, 6, and 7, I think is a beautiful scripture, and it talks about how to continue living on in the faith. And then now what I want to do is talk about what I want to say to you. I'm going to do that in just a couple of minutes, but before we do that, I'd like for you to stand up in just a second, welcome the people around you, and those of you who can, make your way over to Todd and tell him that, yes, I'd be glad to take on one of those projects. What's the average length of time one of those projects is going to take? Two or three hours?
Yeah, just clean up stuff.
Just clean up stuff. So let's stand up, greet the people around you, and then some of you go over and tell Todd that you're signing up right now. Yes, I did. All right, sit down. All right, we gave the elders to sit down.
Good morning.
Forgive me. Good to see everybody again. Let me So let me talk a little bit about a final sermon. Lots of pressure on what to say and how to say it well. It's your last shot. What are we going to do? So it reminded me, when I was in college, we had a thing back in the day when I was in school at the college that I went to, where the teacher that was voted Outstanding Teacher of the Year got to speak at commencement. When my senior year, Jeanette and our senior year, there's a guy named, you don't remember his name, you don't care about his name, but he was nominated and selected as Teacher of the Year. He was very close to retirement, so this was the last time he was going to get to talk to the school. I think there was 600 and some odd of us that graduated. Not a real big school. But he took it very seriously. This guy went to Harvard Divinity School, got his doctorate there, real sharp fellow, and very passionate person. I tried to take as many classes as I could of his, but he never wanted to sit in the first couple of rows because he always spit when he talked. He's very, again, sorry, too much information. But he was very excited about this final talk, and so he spoke for an hour. How many of you have ever been to a commencement before? We're going to be celebrating that in a couple of weeks. 600 people have to go through. They get all that stuff. And this guy spoke for an hour. I want you to know, I think that is a great precedent, and I plan on following that today. Oh, you know, okay. So let me tell you what we're going to do. Today I have 2 points. Two themes from two of my very favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. We're going to look at several verses that are lumped around Hebrews 11, but not look at Hebrews 11. So if you have the Bible and you want to follow along, I'll have the Scriptures up. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 31, 32 through the end of the chapter. Then we're going to look at Hebrews 12, 1. Today I want us to look at the preface and the postscript to the this famous chapter of Hebrews 11. And here's the two things. You can write it down in your outline. The outline's kind of Spartan. It's not the most beautiful thing I've ever put together. But here's the first thing I want us to talk about, the importance of identity. So I'm leaving with you my words of wisdom. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do, is to go, here's what I think, when it kind of is boiled down, what's really important. There's a lot to love about the book of Hebrews, and today it's going to make up all but one passage of my sermon. The author writes in Hebrews to a group of Christians that are having a tough time facing a daunting and unknown future. Sound familiar? We got a guy coming in at the end of the month. What's the future look like for our church? Where is he going to fit in? Where are we going to fit with him? We live in a culture that's changed radically. There was a time, I imagine, at this church where everybody lived close by the building, and not so much anymore. It's a different world, a different time. These Christians, their culture did not accept or understand them. And as a result, these Christians were questioning their loyalty to the church, to Jesus, and Jesus' loyalty to them. So the author of Hebrews writes, in the first nine, ten chapters, he writes about the superiority of Christ over anything the world has to offer, or even heaven has to offer. He says he's greater than the angels, he's greater than Moses, he's greater than Abraham, he's greater than Melchizedek, this obscure person from the Old Testament. And he just keeps talking, the covenant that he brings is better. Everything about Jesus is better, and he does that for the purpose of trying to call these people to hold on and persevere. And he really turns to that part of his message, the importance of persevering, in chapters 10 and 11 and the early part of chapter 12. So I want to read Hebrews 10, beginning of verse 32, then we're going to skip a couple of verses and read 35 through the end of the chapter. The author writes, and we're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Now, I want you to not just read that. I want you to think about it. July 23rd, 1967, I was 12 years old and 1 week, and I was baptized and gave my life to Christ. I don't remember the audience. It was in Rome, New York. And I don't remember who was in the audience. My dad baptized me. I don't even remember that. But I can tell you how I felt and the feelings that I had. Can you remember how you felt and what you expected when you gave your life to Christ initially? I'm going to guess you were like me. There was excitement. There was the thought of joy of being forgiven. Because when I was 12, I had come to the conclusion I'd done some stuff that I was not going to get, that I needed God's help with. Even at that early age, I went, ooh, boy, I need help. And I can also tell you that I wasn't looking for an associate membership. I wanted to be involved in what God was wanting me to do, even as I later on into my later teens and early 20s, as I was thinking about career, as I was thinking about what I wanted to do with my life, as I was thinking about who I would marry and where I would live. There were some expectations about those early days when I first learned about Christ. In the next couple of verses that we're not going to read, the author talks about the amazing things that these people did early on in their faith walk, and what they did and how they were took on the risk of faith and being on the cutting edge of faith. And then he says this: don't throw away that confident trust that you had in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience, endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that is promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Now listen carefully, and this can go in your outline. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls have been saved. The ability to persevere, the author of Hebrews says, is directly linked to understanding and remembering your identity. And here's who we are. Boy, this thing is really messed up. This is what happens when I try to get cute. You are the faithful who are saved. You're the faithful ones who are saved. Let's get off of that. Faith and salvation isn't about our performance or the number of followers that you have in Twitter or the Facebook friends that you have or the pretty pictures that you have on your Pinterest account, nor is it the money or lack of money that you have in your bank account. Your faith in salvation, if you remember, is from identifying yourself with Jesus Christ. Because you put your faith in Him, heaven has become real to you. Your identity as Christians is in Jesus and what His grace and love have done for you. You're a heaven-bound person. Your soul has been saved. And that should give us an amazing confidence. But I'll let you in on a secret in my life when it comes to identity. And we can't get back there. So you guys are going to have to be skewed. Sometimes I get amnesia when it comes to my identity, spiritually. And I'm guessing it has been for you as well. I'll give you a for instance. 6 or 7 years ago at the church that I was working through, we went through a very rough patch. You would say that our church split. We decided to talk about some subjects that some people felt very uncomfortable with. And as because of that, maybe because we didn't handle it well, but then also because we weren't as mature as we should be, people have pitched a fit and lots of people left. And the people that stayed behind were very damaged. And the people that left were very damaged. I was very damaged. And it got so bad that at one point I decided I needed to go see a therapist. So I did. I went to a therapist, and I think I was in my third session, so I'd spent 3 hours and a considerable amount of money at that point going into vivid and glowing detail about how bad my life was and how I'd been put upon and the difficult things that I was going through and how people had treated me. And I'll never forget this, because I was going to a therapist. I think he might have been a Christian, but I'm not sure. But he looked at me and looked me dead in the eye and said, I need to ask you a question. I need to interrupt you. And I don't know if you've been to a therapist before, but it's letting you discover your problem and work through it. For example, maybe you've heard, if you ask your therapist, what time is it? They respond by saying, what time do you want it to be? You know, that type of, oh boy, tough audience. He's usually not directive at all. But he interrupts me and goes, I need to ask you something. You're a minister, right? And I go, yeah. He goes, don't you believe in faith? And I went, ouch. Oh, yeah. That's my identity. That's who I want to be. But I had lost that identity. I'd forgotten that who I was back in the earlier days, that I'm part of the faithful ones who have been saved. So even if I go through difficulty and hardship, I still find peace and comfort and confidence in remembering who I am and whose I am. We can do that no matter where we are in our faith walk. So that's something I want to leave with you today. I think it is essential that as we move forward individually and collectively as the Hickman Road Church, that we remember who we are. We're the faithful ones. The people in our culture look to us for faith. And that we are humble but confident because we are saved. Not because of anything we do, but because we put our trust a long time ago in Jesus Christ. We're the ones who live with the risk and live on the cutting edge of the adventure of faith. You've heard, we talked about as a church last year as we took this congregational assessment, we want to step outside these walls. We want to be. We want to share our faith. We want someone to come and stand in that pulpit and help lead us to become more of who we longed to be when we came to Christ. We want to be the faithful ones who understand salvation and want to share it with other people. The second thing I want to share with you is the importance of being connected. If you keep reading the book of Hebrews from the end of chapter 10 and then into chapter 12, you can't help but read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It's 40 verses and story after story of great illustrations of faithfulness and perseverance. People like Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and Moses and others who put their faith in God and found their identity in Him. Some near the end of the chapter who aren't even mentioned by name. The author said, and who can tell? We don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and he keeps going on and on. People who were persecuted, people who were killed because of their faith. He says, I believe it's verse 38. You can check it out. It's, to me, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. It would be wonderful for me to have this on my tombstone, but it won't be there. The author of Hebrews says, these people live such lives of faith. Now listen, the world was not worthy of them. You've known people like that in your life, who poured into your life, who you're connected to, who've lived that kind of faith. And the author here says that even though these people have lived in the past in Hebrews 11, they're important to us. They're more than Bible trivia. Look at what the Bible says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let's strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do we run the race? We stay connected to that cloud of people we're surrounded by. It isn't just Bible trivia. These people's lives matter. This is especially significant and needs to be spoken about in our point-and-click culture. In the information age in which we live, we have instant connectivity to just about everything we want. In fact, if it takes more than 15 seconds for your computer to boot up, you're ready to get a new one. Today in the school where my wife is a principal, kids can connect instantaneously from one classroom in Fort Mill, South Carolina, to people in Kyoto, Japan, another classroom in Kyoto, Japan, like that. The world has become so close. But yet, in spite of this instant connectivity, in our point-and-click mentality, we have very shallow connections with people from our past. How many of you have your kids say, you know what, you need to grow up and be a history major in school? We're going to say, there's no money in that. That just shows an inclination that we have today of connecting to people before us. But the author of Hebrews says, as he calls us to persevere, that we've got to stay connected to the people who are part of God's story. Let's see how this one turns out. There you go. Kind of. Here's something you can write down. You're part of God's eternal story. It's pretty incredible to think that it's true that as chapter 11 of Hebrews ends, the author writes this amazing statement. He said, God did amazing things for these people, but he'd actually planned something better for you and you and me. We're on the same starting team as Abraham, Joseph, Deborah, Ruth, Mary Magdalene, and Moses. We're part of the same adventurous team of faith. We live out our identity by staying connected to that reality of those people that surround us. We're not running the race alone. We're a part of God's family and of His faithful followers. We live out, if you read through the names of the people that are listed in Hebrews 11, you find out pretty quickly that these people had some real issues in their life. Abraham had some issues with lying. Moses had some issue, a little thing with murder. You go down the list, everybody had problems. They weren't perfect, but here's what I want you to understand. They were faithful. Their hearts pointed toward God and then pointed back toward God when they repented. I want to talk a little bit about John the Baptist. And this seems rather obscure, but he's one of the great heroes of the Bible. And as we look at his life, I want to see how we can connect to him and see what it means to be a part of the same family of faith that he was. His faith took him on a path that was totally counterculture. I was reading about him just recently in some daily Bible reading. The clothes he wore, the food he ate, locusts. He lived out in the wilderness, and people came to him, and he didn't go to, just total counterculture. Nothing that you would look at from here's where you go to missionary school to be able to come like John. It doesn't work like that. But here, so Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 starts talking about John the Baptist, and he starts talking about how awesome he is, and how he impacted the culture and made things ready for his arrival, and how he was the fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament. And then he says this, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. And you stop there and you go, yeah, he was pretty awesome. But look what Jesus says next. Yet you and I, we have every bit as much an opportunity to become as great as John, if not greater. I mean, that's, where else do you get that? Where else do you get that opportunity in life to have real lasting greatness? Jesus wants us to understand we need to stay connected to the people like John because his life speaks into ours. So you're part of God's eternal story, and then you're also a part of the Hickman Road story. Kim put together an amazing history of the church here. We shared that with you last year. Part of the search team, she did an. In fact, it was huge in scope, enormous. Let me give you a highlight of it real quickly, an overview. You're here today because you're connected to people who gave and sacrificed an awful lot. These are people that experienced, who went through personal loss and sacrifice emotionally, people who went through family loss, people who gave sacrificially to individuals, to families, and to this church in ways that they would never be repaid financially. People who welcome people into their homes. People who are part of this church that when people moved to the Des Moines area, they made them feel welcome by opening their lives to them. People who stepped out in great faith when God called them to do something new in uncharted ways. People who at some point said, just because we've never done it before or we've always done it this way doesn't mean we're not trying to do something for God. People who most of all showed Jesus to the people in their lives. That's this church's history. That's this church's story, and you're part of that story. You're part of that story. We are a people who accept and love people like Jesus accepted and loved us. We're people who have always opened our hearts up to people immediately and have urged them to use their talents and abilities to join us in the life of faith. That's who you're connected to. And that's your identity. Here's something you can trust about Jesus. In all that's going on in our world today, it's important to know that he's searching for you. Jesus didn't come as a one-time rescue mission. He and God continuously search for people today who are faithfully willing to give them their hearts and lives. In John 4:33, when Jesus is talking at the woman in the well, and she starts talking about worship here on this mountain or down in Jerusalem, Jesus says, I don't know about all that stuff, but I do know this. The time is coming when God will accept true worshipers. In fact, he says that God, and I think also he's saying, and I will be searching for people who long to worship us with all their heart and in truth and in the spirit of their lives. You can count on this. In a world that seems to be so fluctuating and ambiguous, that Jesus is searching for you. He wants you to be a part of his eternal story and family. Here's something you can do for him. You can remember who you are. We're the faithful ones. We're the ones that live by faith. One of the reasons I've accepted this new job, I may have shared it with you publicly, but I've certainly talked to you, I need a stretch. And it's a big stretch for me. I've never done anything like this before, don't have any training. But somebody says, I want to do something for God, I'd like you to be a part of it. I'll be 62 in July. I'm not holding myself as some example. I'm telling you why I'm doing it. I want to be faithful. I want to be one of the faithful ones. And if I could do it at 19 and 20, maybe I should be doing it at 62. And I hope that I'll be doing it at 82. I'm not so sure about 102. Your identity and much of our identity as a church has been to live with uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. My encouragement to you is commit your hearts again to being the part of God's cloud of faithful witnesses. Distance yourself from sin and focus on what's best in life, Jesus Christ. And run after him. Okay, here's how I'm going to end up my time with you. Take out your cell phone. If you have a cell phone, take it out. Very important. This is how we're ending the lesson. And I have packed mine away. So, you may not remember anything else, but you go, isn't that the guy that made us take our cell phones out? So, here's the message I want to leave with you about connectivity and identity. If you have your cell phone, I want you to look at me. It's in the top left-hand corner. And it's got these, mine's got the little blips. Do you have the little blips? Some of you don't have your cell phone out. I'm being serious. Thank you. Here's what I want you to realize. That in this cell phone is a chip that says, this phone needs to connect to a cell tower. It's right now, it's searching, and mine is connected. 2 out of 4 blips or whatever. Yeah, 2 out of 5. In fact, when we were on our cruise and we were in another part of the country, world, and I mistakenly turned my phone on, even Jeanette said, don't turn your phone on, it costs too much money. I turned it on and it said, searching. You ever seen that? Because built into a cell phone is a chip that says, you've got to search for a cell tower to be able to receive the message that you want to hear, that you need to hear. Here's the point. As we're thinking and trying to remember our identity and remember our connection to each other and to God, God has put the same kind of chip inside of you. And every person you've ever met, God has placed a chip inside of you that causes you to search for him. You're looking for a cell tower of sorts, but it's something far more than what makes the... as you travel through the United States and you see these monstrosities sticking up on the side of the highway, he's still looking for you to connect with something greater than that. He's just wanting you to connect with him. Now, we look for him in lots of different ways, in position, in power, in peer influence. We look at it in purchasings. But God has placed a chip inside of each of us that truly only finds its home in Jesus Christ. So, it's important for you to realize that. And it's also important for you to realize that he placed that chip in everybody else. And you might be the person that helps them connect and make that connection with God. So how cool would it be if every time we turned our phone on, or at least occasionally, and we looked up to see our reception, that we could be reminded that we are trying to connect with something greater than us as well. To hear the message that we're the faithful ones who have been saved, and we're the ones that have been called to help to share that message with others as well. So here's how I want to end my last sermon with you for a while, I hope. It'd be nice to get invited back, but that never seems to happen in my life. Look at me. We're the faithful ones. And we're the ones who have been saved. And we're part of an eternal family. From the very beginning of time and through all of eternity, we'll be connected to Christ and to each other because of that faith. And everyone else that we'll ever meet is looking to connect and to find their identity. And we know how to do it. So let's take the risk and let's rejoin the adventure. Let's remember what it was like when we first came to Christ and want to do that again. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for this church. Bless them with the ability to remember who they are and to keep that identity in the forefront of their minds and in their hearts, that we are the faithful ones that Jesus came and saved. And help us stay connected to the people of faith, not just in the immediate, not just now, but be connected throughout the centuries to the people who have been faithful to you. Help us as we're surrounded by this amazing cloud of witnesses to run with perseverance and to run hard and fast after Jesus. We pray through him. Amen. If we can help you in any way to connect and to discover who you are in Christ, come now while we stand and sing.